Recently, I came across a very interesting article that linked narcissism with hypochondriasis. Hypochondriasis is nothing but chronic health anxiety. It is the fear of developing and having many health-related issues. Now, not all hypochondriacs are narcissists, neither all narcissists are hypochondriacs, but there is a strong relationship which was established by the research they did. And this article that I'll be reading to you points out some of the key aspects of this relationship between narcissism and hypochondria. This article stood out to me because I personally have struggled with hypochondriasis all my life. In fact, that was the primary and the most painful manifestation of the trauma that I have experienced because of all these narcissists in my life. The only difference is I am not narcissistic. But at the same time, I have seen different variations of the same thing in my parents, which I'll be talking about in today's episode. I'll be talking about the hypochondriasis and morbid death of fear in my father and how my mother always searches for that ideal healer and how she keeps repeating the cycle in that, and that is the manifestation of her hypochondriasis. If all of that sounds interesting, please make sure to subscribe. Before we begin, I'm your host Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. The article that I'm talking about was published on Psychology Today by Dr. Robert Satow, PhD, and it was published on November 11, 2021, quite recent. The first interesting thing that this article points out resonates a lot with me because I see the same thing in my mother. It says, some hypochondriacs, narcissistic hypochondriacs, are not looking for a cure for their ailment, but rather a witness to their suffering. It goes on explaining, the search for an ideal mother who is concerned for the child's symptoms and expresses empathy for their pain. This is the object relationship established in the research they have done. My opinion is different though. But what this article is trying to say is that there is this transference that happens. The narcissist who is hypochondriac keeps looking for that one person who would genuinely care for them, but they keep idealizing them and devaluing them. I'll talk about that cycle more. My opinion is the narcissist, the vulnerable victim type of a narcissist, tries to get supply from everybody, but then eventually discards them. It further explains, they go from doctor to doctor desperately seeking an omnipotent professional able to sort out all the disappointments of earlier doctors. But the inevitable disappointment of the idealized doctor results in criticizing their incompetence, making the doctor less sympathetic to their pain. When I read this, I was like, this is it, because I see my mother in this. The only difference is she replaced doctors with healers. She had this firm delusional belief that somebody has done black magic on her, or she's being haunted by ghosts and evil spirits, and then she would go to these healers who would then reinforce her delusional belief. The interesting observation that I would like to share with you here is she would idealize a healer and then would go through this love bombing stage of some kind. It usually used to be a him, and then she would get excited. I mean, it's just so weird for me to explain. She would try to find evidence for why he is the best, why he is really powerful and truly spiritual. And then that excitement would come up and come out if somebody pointed out something that would suggest what he had told her or given her is working. Do you understand what I mean? And then slowly, 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 that idealization would turn into devaluation. Naturally, she would then start picking flaws, pointing out issues and missing stuff, and that would eventually lead to discard. I remember my entire life going with her to these healers, just trying to make sure she feels comfortable or trying to get her some help because I thought she truly is struggling. That is what we call shared psychosis. I believed whatever she was saying is what the reality is. And then eventually when she would discard these people, these healers would become really rude towards her, which is what this article explains. and says, often the patient's perpetual dissatisfaction alienates spouses, friends, and relatives, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. What is the self-fulfilling prophecy here? I am the eternal victim. I am the martyr. Nobody truly cares for me. Everybody is hurting me. Because everybody would then think the problem is in her head. Nothing seems to be working on her. Some self-proclaimed healer she used to go to would drain more money out of her by blaming this thing, that thing, ordering the next gem or crystal that would heal her and take care of all her complaints and all that. But then eventually, it would lead to a final discard phase and a replacement with the new, brand new healer who then she would idolize. Now, let's talk about my father. This article then talks about narcissists who transform their psychological frailty into physical fragility. These narcissistic personalities fear falling apart physically because they know that their sense of self can be abruptly shattered. A real or perceived criticism can turn their feeling of self-righteous superiority into feeling like a nobody. Isn't that the truth? My father is a malignant, overt narcissist. I mean, it's just right there, you can see it. He used to be callous, cruel, unempathetic, cold most of the time. But whenever he fell sick or perceived a threat in the form of an invisible disease or a health problem he thought he's developing, he would mellow down instantly. He would soften a little bit and then act like, oh, he's listening and he depends on us and he has nobody except God and us and he really appreciates us caring for him. And he used to discuss his blood tests, his all other health reports with his daughter primarily, and asked her questions like, oh, is this, does this mean I have this kind of issue? What does this mean? What does that mean? What test should I get done next? Which doctor should I see? And so on. So that was an interesting observation. Why an interesting observation? Because during those times, it used to become quite evident how fragile he is, how shaky his entire life is, and how one unidentified sensation in his body can tear his world apart and make his false self crumble. Another facet of the manifestation of his psychological frailty was his morbid fear of death. Anytime anybody could point out some facts about life like dying or make it obvious to him that that is the end we all are going to meet and so on, he would rage or avoid the topic or clearly look terrified to his core. I even remember him not even coming near a dead person. I mean, there is an experience, an entire experience to share maybe for some other time, but just know this, he would stand meters away from the dead body because that reminded him of what his end is eventually going to be. Narcissists are terrified of dying because they don't want to believe that is the end of it all. Their grandiosity, their entitlement, their omnipotence, and so on. Because their false self tells them an entirely different, unrealistic story. The morbid fear of death still haunts him, which is why he softens and becomes more human-like when he falls ill. But the moment he recovers, he is back to his monstrous state and self. Now, for a minute, let's talk about my experience of hypochondriasis and how it is different than what I have explained so far. I was not looking for the best doctor to heal me or cure me. I was looking for someone to explain what was happening to me because I was struggling with a lot of psychosomatic issues, body trauma. For example, the pressure in my bladder area, and as it continued, I thought it's going to burst. I couldn't understand the heaviness in my chest, the tingling in my hands and on my face, the numbing sensation in my legs. Nobody was telling me what was going on. They would put me on gabapentin, antibiotics, pain medication, but nobody gave me real answers. And then when I started searching on Google, you know what happens. They say it's cancer, but it's not. So that's why that created that anxiety. That health anxiety was made 1,000 times worse by my already chronically dysregulated nervous system and a tendency to think in catastrophic terms. So it got worse. My thoughts impacted my feelings and that changed my behavior. Things only changed and my hypochondriasis only resolved when I worked on the root cause, which was understanding narcissistic abuse and narcissistic abuse trauma. It's only when I started trauma work, when I started calming my nervous system, my body also released that tension. My nerves got better with full no contact, I must say that, and my health improved. Now, I don't have any health-related anxiety at all. But I must tell you, I recently had a very big episode. 12 months ago, I broke no contact from my parents and visited them for certain reasons. Then after that, all of a sudden, my health anxiety came back. And coincidentally, my vaccinated cat bit me accidentally on my finger. And that triggered the hell out of me. I thought, I'm getting rabies, I'm done, I'll die. But that didn't happen. I know what was happening. I was able to recover from it fairly quickly, I would say, but still it took a toll. I knew cognitively everything, but my body was reacting. So that's why you must never break no contact. All of the healing will be flushed down the drain and you will find yourself back at square one. So that was it for today's episode. I have linked this interesting article in the description, or you can click the I button above to read it now. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your presence and I hope you found this episode helpful and insightful. I'll talk with you in the next one. Until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.